This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Daryl, always a pleasure to have you here on Baskin and Phelps.
What's happening, guys?
How are you, buddy?
Much, bud.
I'm good. I'm trying to stay. It snowed again.
Yeah.
And it's cold.
Just stop.
We're actually having a winter.
Stop.
I told Jeff on the conference call this morning, I'm done. This is it. This is my breaking point. I'm done. I'm done with winter. I'm done with snow. I'm done with cold. I'm done with not seeing the sun.
Thanks,
I'm
Daryl.
Done.
You got him going. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm done.
Dan, way back in the day, this is how it used to be every winter. We're just not used to it because, well, we've had a lot of nice winters in recent years.
That's really true.
Is this one of those where it's going to turn into both of you starting to do the whole back of my day, uphill,
yeah,
both ways,
yeah,
no shoes, cold as molasses. Bus would fall into the ditch and we'd lift it and shove it back up so we get to school before English.
Remember in 78, we had 4 feet of snow and we liked it.
Yeah. Kids get days off of school now if the temperature drops below freezing.
Isn't that true? Hey, there's going to be a cold breeze. Stay home, kids.
I'm not going to do the back in my day. I used to walk to school in a foot of snow up the hill with no boots. I'm not going to do that. But
anyhow,
yeah. As tempting as it is.
I wonder if Matthew Stafford hated winter so much that he wouldn't want to come back to this part of the country.
Well, was winter indoors kind to him?
Well, he had to drive to the indoors, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm just saying, though. He got to actually play indoors, though.
He's the name that's out there right now, Daryl. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, Matthew Stafford's going to be available.
Yeah, we'll
Is
see.
He going to be available? Would he have an interest in the Browns, and would the Browns have an interest in him?
Well, I think the Browns have to have an interest in any quarterback that's available at this point, right? They're not doing their jobs if they don't express interest and do their due diligence and homework on these guys. I mean, they've got to find the best of the worst that's available this offseason to get them through this whatever transition, we'll call it, the 41st transition in franchise history since this team has come back, while they continue the never-ending search for a franchise quarterback. They should express interest in him, absolutely. As far as like what Stafford wants or what he, you know, wants to do, well, there's a chance he may not have a choice in the matter, right?
It's valid, Daryl.
Yeah.
Does the cap being a little higher than what people were thinking have any impact on what the Browns are looking to do in free agency?
I think that Andrew Berry's already mapped out his free agency plan going into the combine. And then you go there and you talk to the agents, and then in 3 weeks we find out what was decided at the combine.
Yes.
That's usually how this works. Or is it 2 weeks?
At the bar at St. Elmo's between a shrimp cocktail.
Right, exactly. Or at Prime at 3 a.m. I think that he's got an idea of what he wants to do. Obviously, the salary cap news yesterday was great. For him and the Browns, Barry has done a pretty good job just with his own internal projections of what those numbers are going to look like. So, you know, the folks that were really losing their minds over the Browns salary cap space, you know, they're going to be fine. They'll restructure Deshaun, they'll restructure a couple of contracts, and boom, they'll have what they need to do to accomplish what Barry's looking to in free agency. It's why I really wasn't all that worried about it. Yeah, the fact that his cap number is so large and they're paying him what they're paying him to do basically nothing for them, you know, is problematic. But, you know, Barry knows how to work around and navigate all this stuff. So I'm not really concerned about that. I'm concerned about many other things, like finding the next quarterback, finding a franchise quarterback, and then filling the many holes that are on this roster.
You just mentioned juggling the cap and restructuring and everything else. We keep hearing, well, we've all taken the approach, and it seems like the Browns have as well. All right, you're going to draft somebody at quarterback, or you're going to sign a free agent at quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you think a trade for a quarterback is a legitimate option, Daryl?
No, I think it's too tough to do.
Okay.
Because of the cap, because you assume that contract and the cap the ramifications that come with the contract in its existing form, barring a restructure. And last time I checked, I don't think a lot of players, not just quarterbacks, but players in general, are willing to take less money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that the route is they will draft a quarterback, they will sign one or two quarterbacks, but those quarterbacks are going to come here on team-friendly salaries. You know what I mean? And I think that that's why the Kirk Cousins thing makes sense, because he's getting his money from the Atlanta Falcons, right? And then gets released. And so, yeah, you could sign him probably for the veteran minimum, because he got his money, right? And those are the type of things that Andrew Barry has to be cognizant of, which he is. I'm not saying he's not. He is, obviously. But those are the things that he has to think about as he goes through this process, because you can't go out and spend another $35 million on a quarterback this offseason. You can't do it. And I'm talking about an annual salary. You know, if you did a $35 million contract over multiple years, that's a different story. But you can't go out and pay someone $35 million per year to come in here and start for this football team. You're going to need somebody who's making in the veteran minimum to $5, $6 million range. Maybe you throw some incentives or whatnot in there. But no, I think trading for a quarterback is a lot. I won't ever say anything's impossible, but I think it's much more difficult to do.
Our Cleveland sports reporter, Daryl Ryder, joining us in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Badge Rim Hotline. Of course, all of his hits are powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, is it a foregone conclusion that the Browns are going to restructure Deshaun Watson's contract, lower that so
yes.
that they have more room?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And then what's going to happen is everybody's going to lose their minds, right? I mean, remember what they did in the fall when everyone lost their minds? It's going to happen again. They're probably going to restructure another 2 to 3 times before it's all said and done, because what Andrew Berry is rightfully calculating is the escalation of the cap. You're talking a $20 to $25 million increase from last year to this year, right? They were going into the offseason some $30-plus million over the cap. Now that number's 10. Well, you do a restructure of Deshaun. That saves you about 30. Oh, what do you know? Just that. Now you're all at 10, 20 million under the salary cap, and you're perfectly fine. Restructure a couple other contracts, you're even more under the salary cap. I mean, they rolled over last year, I believe it was around 40 million, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. Like, they rolled over, I think, the most money of anybody in cap room. So salary cap maintenance is not Andrew Berry's problem. Picking players that can come in here and win games, that's a different conversation. But managing the cap, that's not an issue. And that's why I really have not been all that concerned about the status of the cap.
Daryl Ryder's joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. Any new rumblings on your favorite defensive end in mine?
Well, other than every Buffalo reporter that covers the team saying that the Bills placed a call to the Browns and made an offer?
I was on a Buffalo radio station. Oh, they were giddy.
Well, what's interesting is I don't care where they trade Miles, because I am of the belief that this football team is not close to contention, okay? So I don't view trading him to the Bills. Trade him to the Chiefs for all I care. I just don't feel like that all of a sudden that's a roadblock for the Browns. The roadblock from the Browns is they don't have a very good football team. They're the worst team in the division again, and they got a long way to go to get back to the playoffs. So I don't care where you trade him. Now, odds are he gets traded to an NFC team because the Browns do think that they're close. They do feel like that with a couple of moves this offseason, they can get back to the playoffs. I respectfully disagree with that notion, but that's I'm just telling you where the organization is and how they feel about the state of this roster. They feel they're close. I disagree, but that's how they feel, and they're welcome to that. I think they're a little delusional, but that's okay. But, you know, I think Washington, Detroit make the most sense to trade Miles, but it's all about best package. I mean, there's only three teams I would not consider trading Miles Garrett to, and that's the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bengals. Everybody else, come with your best offer, right? You know, Andrew Berry's job is to get the best possible package for him. Now, to be fair, the Browns are very, very clear. They're not trading Miles Garrett.
Do you believe that, by the way?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I think that, of course they're going to say that publicly, right? But I think, again, Andrew has to at least answer the phone. And that could also be code for, if you're going to call us, make sure it's with a purpose and that it's worth my time. You know, don't be calling us offering a couple of second-round picks or something like that, right? Because I think Miles should get you at least two first-round picks plus, and then some, right? But I think ultimately you do trade him. I think the more I think about the situation, it's in their best interest long-term to trade him. They're not winning with him, right?
I love the concept of, boy, I wonder what you could get, and then what you could do with that to help your team. But I also really love the idea of having a Hall of Fame talent at defensive end. So
I know, but unfortunately, the Hall of Fame talent doesn't want to be here.
Well, apparently not.
And you
do think it's more about that and not about money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I also think it's about legacy. Because let's be honest about it. That's going back to that statement that was released the Monday of Super Bowl week, right? The whole line about, you know, the goal's not, it was never to go from Cleveland to Canton or what. Yeah, it was. That was a goal when he first came into the league, along with Defensive Player of the Year and a couple other things. But he does have a point. The great ones are remembered for winning. Joe Thomas is the exception to the rule. He was so great at his position, it didn't matter that he blocked for 25 quarterbacks and the Browns never had a winning season with him here, right? But I think with, you know, from where Miles is coming from, part of it's about money, Jeff. When it comes to the Browns. Like, okay, this offseason I'm due for the pay raise with 2 years left on my deal, but I don't want to stay in Cleveland if I have no chance to compete. I don't want to commit to the Browns if they're not really committed to winning. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Cleveland Browns are not committed to winning, because that's completely unfair. The method in which they're going about being committed to winning, I disagree with. I don't think it's working, and they need to shake things up a little bit. But they are trying to win. They're spending money to win. They're not getting the return on their investment. So, and if you can get assets, and this is the key, that you can flip into better players to sprinkle into the rest of the roster to build a team, rather it be Miles Garrett, Denzel Ward, and the rest of the defense, and, well, David Njoku, Jerry Jeudy, Wyatt Teller, maybe or maybe not, Joel Bitonio, depending what he decides to do, and the rest of the offense, right? Because there's a lot of holes they need to fill, and trading Miles Garrett could give them the assets that they need to be able to do that, but then you have to make the assumption that they're going to convert those assets into quality players that are going to help elevate the roster. And that's the rub in this whole thing, because historically, especially when it comes to the draft, the Browns don't do that especially well. They don't miss all the time, but they do miss the majority of the time.
speaking of players that, I don't know, maybe I would call it a hit. He's been fine. But Greg Newsom is playing on the fifth-year option of his rookie contract.
I would count him as a hit, Dan.
I think so, yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say that Greg Newsom's a bust. No, absolutely not. No, it was a hit. Yeah,
I agree with you. I think he's going to have a 10-year career in this league. The question I have, though, is he going to have a 10-year career in this league playing for the majority of it for the Browns, or is he going to have another 5 years on top of that, possibly playing for somebody else?
Well, and this is, again, where it comes down to where the Browns evaluate him, right? Do they view him strictly as a nickel corner, a package player? He wants to play outside and be an every down corner. Does that ambition of his mesh with the Browns' vision, right? I think Mary Kay wrote the story something to the effect of, he wants to be in Cleveland, but he also wants to be on the field more to help the team, right? And that's great, that's admirable, but it depends if the Browns believe that he can do that, right? So I think he is an interesting player to watch this offseason as far as a potential trade, and especially with whatever they decide to do in the draft, because Denzel Ward only has so much tread left on his tires. There's questions about Greg Newsom. And remember, Andrew Berry has the philosophy, and it's a good philosophy, there's no such thing as enough good corners, right? And this is a good draft to get some cornerbacks. So I think he's going to be an interesting player to watch this offseason. And if they do move him, then that tells you no. The Browns did not see him as an every down type of cornerback. They viewed him as a specialty type of corner that they're not going to pay starting cornerback money to, if that makes sense.
There's rumblings, and they're coming out of Pittsburgh.
Hang on. I need to sit down for this, Jeff.
Yeah.
Because you said they're coming out of Pittsburgh, and I have an idea where you're going with this. So go ahead.
That the Steelers have an interest in signing Nick Chubb.
Okay.
Tell me that one. tell me that's not going to happen. Please just tell me.
Mr. Chubb, as Mike Tomlin would say.
Well, we all know Mike Tomlin's admiration and respect that he has for Chubb.
It's yes, unquestioned. Sure.
I would hope not, but, I mean, Joe Hayden was a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, but the Browns cut him.
I know, but I'm just saying, well, you know.
Dan Fike.
Did I hear it correctly? Did Ken Carman say this morning he'll pay whatever it costs to keep Nick Chubb away from the Steelers?
I do not know.
Okay.
If he did, Ken's got a lot of disposable income.
Yeah, because there is, you do have to, I understand where you'd be coming from there, but you also have to, you got to be smart about how you spend your dollars.
Yeah.
And I would hope that Nick Chubb does not sign with the Steelers, but, you know, if the Browns don't re-sign him and he becomes a free agent, right? I mean, you're free to go wherever you want.
You can go anywhere that they want you.
And if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you've watched Nick Chubb run you over with regularity over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, I'd want to sign the guy too, right?
All right, D. Thank you, buddy.
Stretch before you shovel. Don't pull anything. It's not worth it.
A good idea. Thank you, Daryl.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, is brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.